How are you?
What's going on, Bob? Oh, yeah, what's happening?
We're just been waiting for you, Masai. That's all we've been doing.
Hey, you guys got Blue Jays, man. Blue Jays are rolling.
It's a fun time of year. We'll address that a little bit later on. We want to talk basketball with you, though. Let me first ask you bluntly, are we accurate 4 years, $64 million?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So here's, I of course, I have no issue with this. I like Jonas Valanciunas as a player. He's still young. He's still got room to improve. But he is not used by your coach in the fourth quarter on any kind of regular basis. Mm-hmm. And when asked about that, Case said his first response to Jonas Valanciunas and his role, and et cetera, was the league is going smaller. Now, he then went on to say, you know, you got a 10-foot basket, you got to have big people, blah, blah, blah. But it sort of gave me a real clear indication of what his thought process was here.
Mm-hmm.
Could you have walked away from Jonas Valanciunas and said, you know what? If this league is going this direction, we don't need a 7-foot guy anymore. Could you, would you have been prepared to even do that?
No, I think in our league, I think you have to look at you have to look at the player. And yes, and the trend right now is it shows that, you know, like it's going. Teams are playing smaller, but honestly, the trend like changes like every other year. Every year, the NBA is almost like a year-to-year league now. You know, like where. People are going to try different things, but Jonas, we look at as a 7-foot basketball player that's talented. You know, like he's growing in terms of his learning abilities and what he can do. We have to project. That's our jobs, and we have to preserve guys that have value. We have to preserve assets and. Jonas is somebody we feel, you know, like is a part of our future. And I think when we look at last year, we can all agree that when we evaluated the teams, there were mistakes by players, there are mistakes by coaches, there are mistakes by front office, things that we could do better. The way I composed the team, we could do better. So I think, you know, like Jonas will get better, you know, like, and he's going to fight to be playing in the fourth quarter and prove that he can play in the fourth quarter. Also, our defensive schemes need to improve, you know, like to show that, you know, like we can put Jonas in a scheme where, you know, like he plays in the fourth quarter. Other teams do it. So. And I think it's all different parts from all of us that needs to get better, and I think that would be proved.
With the departure of Amir, would it be your opinion that Valanciunas will get a greater opportunity to see minutes in the fourth quarter?
I think so. It opens it up a little bit, but it's left to Jonas too. You know, like we talked about it today. He has to do the work, and he has to do the things that will get him in the game then, and that's, you know, moving his feet, that's playing in the defensive schemes and, you know, passing out of double teams well. All those things are going to contribute to him playing. But that aside, I think those are all, you know, like some of the things that Jonas has to get good at, you know, like there are some of the things like he does well, you know, too, which we like with him. He's really growing to be a good defensive rebounder again, finishing better like around the rim, and changing ends a little bit better. So I think there's plenty of good things I think to look forward to too.
Masai, when you go through a negotiation with a player, how much conversation comes up in terms of that fit? Like, does Jonas or his agent come in and say, look, he's not a fourth quarter player now for the Toronto Raptors. Do I want to commit to a team that doesn't see me as a fourth quarter player? Like, in your conversations and putting together this deal, how much does that come into it?
You know, it's always negotiations are always tough, right? You know, like you're trying to sell something or you're trying to compromise, and you're trying to sell it. They're trying to sell some stuff, you know, like and you have to come to a middle ground where you all agree. So there are going to be points in time where things like that are going to be mentioned. That's just negotiations, and you're absolutely right. It gets mentioned here and there, you know, like, okay, you know, like, some of the reasons why I didn't do this was because I wasn't playing, you know, like, I wasn't playing in the fourth quarter. And then some of the reasons why you weren't playing in the fourth quarter was because you were not doing this, you know, and it goes back and forth, and you have to have a compromise somewhere. You're going to use leverage. That's just negotiating with anything in life. You know, you're going to use all the leverage you think you have or you do have. So, but yeah, at the end of the day, you have to have relationships, and you have to, you have to be able to figure it out with the agent.
Enes Kanter, who is a 23-year-old player, signed a deal recently with Oklahoma City for 4 years, $70 million. Did you look at that and say, that's where we are? That's what it's going to be to keep Valanciunas on his next contract. You're in a bit lower than that, obviously, Masai, but when the Kanter deal was done, did that kind of say, okay, this is where we're going to be for Valanciunas?
Well, sometimes when those things are done, you know, like it helps you, or so it's an advantage or a disadvantage, you know, I don't want to comment on that now because it's already done. But yes, there's that contract, that name is mentioned that in negotiations, whether it's by them or by us, you know, like in many different ways, you know, like, but that was also an offer sheet, you know, like that came from Portland. Mm-hmm. But I try not to comment on, you know, like what other people have done and other teams, players, because it's the rule. But yes, those things are mentioned.
Among the next decisions that have to be made, at least publicly, I suspect they've been made privately, would be the future of Terrence Ross. And he's an interesting case. Given the reduction of his playing time over the course of last season, the skill level of this guy, but his inability to do certain things. Where are you in the conversation regarding an extension for Terrence Ross?
Well, we'll keep talking, you know, like, we've talked a little bit, you know, like, but every player has a different case, you know, like, but he's a player that, we feel his skill level and what he brings to the table, whether it's shooting or his athletic ability, or he defensively was he fell back a little bit last year, but we believe he has the ability, you know, like to be a good defender and be a two-way player in the league. You know what? We'll keep assessing. You know, like it's one of those where. Does it go till October or does it go till the end of the year, the end of the season? I think it'll be good conversations for us to have in terms of asset. We also have to look at, and in terms of Terrence as a player, we also have to look at what our cap space is going to be like next year and how we want to operate with that. So there'll be many things to consider, I think, when it comes to him. But he's definitely somebody that, with only his skill level in terms of shooting the ball, fits with every team in the NBA.
Now, the other, when you talk about your salary cap and where it's going to go, where the allocated dollars are going to go to, DeMar DeRozan is one more year before a player option, and with where the TV money is going, and therefore the cap is going, have you begun talking with him at all about that number and what it's going to be?
Not at all. You know, like you can only talk to him now about if there was going to be an extension of
right.
Yes, off of his number now, which it just doesn't seem to me like something that they would be
right.
Yeah, they would be doing just based on what the numbers would be. I think DeMar is going to be a case of end of the year.
Now, and what I'm curious about is, Masai, like, how much research have you done into what the TV money is going to do to a contract like his?
Plenty, you know, like it's the same thing as Jonas. Well, when you look at it, it looks like $16 million is a lot of money now and looks outrageous. To be honest, you know, like, but when you look at, we've studied what the percentages of what this deal would be compared to the cap next year after it has gone up. You know, like considerably, and the following year it goes up a big amount again. You know, like then that's where the value comes in. It doesn't come in today. You know, like where everybody looks at it like this. But against the $72 million cap, which we're in now, obviously this looks a little big, but. Jonas' deal, I think everybody should keep in mind, doesn't kick in till next year. This is an extension, so it doesn't kick in till next summer.
Based on your research, what are you budgeting the cap to be next year?
I think it's going to be in the range of. I don't want to quote anything, you know, like wrong, but and I don't know if I'm allowed to, you know, like, but it, I know it's going to go up considerably. So whether it's in the 87 to $90 million range, I don't know, you know, like
I know you don't know, but you got to put some number together to try and start doing budgets.
We won't tell anyone that you said anything.
I'm just wondering what your internal number is. Like, what are you budgeting against?
I think in the $90 million range, maybe.
And the following year?
Oh, that I can't tell you, Bob.
Is there?
I'll have to shoot you. No, I don't know. You know, like I think with that one, I would be guessing maybe.
Do you think it'll hit 100?
Oh.
Or you think maybe. That's a little aggressive?
Maybe I don't know. You know, like we'll see.
What else is left to do in terms of signings, other than Ross? And I don't know. I think you've acknowledged you don't even know whether you're going to be able to address that situation before the season starts. Is there anybody else you need to get done?
No, I think that's it. You know, like we're right about, you know, like where we should be. You never know what comes up before the season. But in terms of guys on our roster, Ross will be the only guy eligible for an extension, and DeMar would be. But I think DeMar is the caliber player that I think is waiting till the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. Masai, you recently came back from Africa, where there was an NBA charity game there in South Africa. I know you have your camps as well. I saw a great quote from you. You talked about how your Giants of Africa program is in Nigeria, Ghana, Kenya, and Rwanda. And you talked about how on a map those countries are in green, but it won't be successful until the map of Africa is all green. How much closer do you think you're getting to your goal?
Very far away from it, honestly. It's a dream of mine, you know, like to first of all to have this opportunity with the NBA. That game was huge, you know, like for us to see Chris Pauls and the Marc Gasols, Pau Gasols, Luol Deng play a game. I think Adam Silver has done an unbelievable job in helping us get, you know, some kind of momentum in Africa, and I was opportune to go on and do my camps in those four countries, which to me is the giving back in that kind of way, where kids see a little bit of opportunity and the support from Nike, the support from MLSC and my ownership, you know, and just generally, you know, like being able to have this job and going back and you know, telling kids that if you use basketball as a tool, you know, like you might not end up being an NBA player, but there's some ways you can find ways in sports marketing, sports journalism, the game and sports has really grown. So, but going back to see the enthusiasm on the continent is huge. And then building that court in Kaole, one of the poorest slums in the world, I think was very fulfilling for us. But we're nowhere near done, you know, like one day we want to affect all parts of Africa and continue to grow every year. So I look forward to next summer.
Tell us about the basketball infrastructure in Africa. Is it significant? Just having a court or putting up a basket on dirt is one thing, but having organized play, coaches, all those other things is quite a different story.
Yes, it needs to grow, you know, like, and I always say, Bob, when you see the growth of technology, the growth of banking, just different things, you know, real estate in Africa, you know, we have to figure out a way to build infrastructure facilities for sports. We did the basketball camps in an outdoor court in Ghana. We were lucky to have, we had good gyms in Nigeria and Kenya and Rwanda, but we need to build facilities, courts. Schools should have the schools have gyms in this part of the world. We should be able to have good outdoor courts in every school. And communities should have, you know, like facilities, and that's where we're trying to get to. Coaching should be better, and that's why taking assistant coaches like Jama Mahalela, like Patrick Mutombo, these guys, to go back and coach the coaches over there. It's huge for us. And there are signs that it's getting better, you know, like, and honestly, with what Adam Silver did and the NBA in playing that game, it gave good momentum to us.
You know, Bob, it's so funny. I was watching the Dream Team 92, a DVD about it the other day, and everybody forgets the first game they played was against Angola.
Yes,
and
sir.
So they asked Charles Barkley at the podium, "What do you know about Angola?" And he says, "I don't know anything about Angola except they're in trouble." We've come a long way, but there's still a long way to go, I guess.
Yes, no, it's funny, you know, like we say that it's such a great it's such a great quote, and referring to that because it's come a long way from those three guys that made a huge difference, which was Dikembe Mutombo, Manute Bol, and Akeem Olajuwon. They made an absolute difference and a huge legend for us. Bless his heart, Manute Bol is passed. But and now we have players, Serge Ibaka, Luol Deng. We have an NBA office in Africa that has 10 or more employees. We have executives in the NBA. We have assistant coaches in the NBA. That's the last 10 years that has grown. And our plan, our goal, and the big question, our focus is, what's the next 10 years? You know, like, what are we concentrating on? And a big thing is what you said, Bob, is infrastructure and facilities is where we have to make progress in the next 10 years.
Masai, do you know what it would cost to build a basketball court in Africa?
I just built one in Kaole, and it cost us $25,000, which was on the, I think, you know, like we got everything done with glass boards, backboards, and a really good cement surface. You know, like there are some that could be better, and there are some that could be on a lower scale. But that's what we spent to build the court in Kaole.
I'm intrigued by that. Because I've been involved with the Michael Pinball Clements Foundation for a number of years. And we undertook to build schools principally in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And initially they cost $8,500 to build a one-room schoolhouse. And we built, 150, 200 of them through donations. And it just seems logical to me that to have a playing surface, like a basketball court, beside each of those schools, mm-hmm. would be a really worthwhile project.
Huge.
Maybe we could tie the two projects together.
And I've spoken with Pinball, and I'm going to find time. We're going to find time to really, like, he's been a huge support for Giants of Africa and some of the
work. I know.
Yes, and has helped us raise money, actually. He's an unbelievable person. But you're absolutely right. There is a sink between, obviously, between education and sports, and the kids need somewhere to go and play, you know, like the kids.
They sure do.
Yeah, it's sports is a huge part of, plus the talent, honestly, Bob, you know, like, it was shocking, you know, like, going through those four countries and seeing the different levels of talent and size and skill and just comparing everything. And I left the continent even 100% more intrigued that, you know, like, there are going to be NBA players coming out of Africa, you know, like, in the next, now it's getting closer, you know, like, just because there's more exposure, there's more knowledge, you know, all the social medias and all that stuff, you know, like, is, and then this game, it gives us a little boost too. But you're absolutely right. There is a sink there.
Athletes know no boundaries. Athletes are developed everywhere in the world. Many of them just don't even know they're athletes. If you give them the opportunity, they will succeed. And what they lack in Africa is the facilities and the opportunity, both to learn and to, you know, play sports and enjoy themselves. And if we provide those opportunities, we can change the face of Africa. And it's a worthwhile goal.
There's no doubt. And what is that one thing that makes all of us happy, you know, like, is sports, you know, like, whether it's the World Cup or basketball or the NBA or whatever it is, you know, like, there's something unique about sports that brings the world and brings youth together, you know, like, and I think there's that effect in Africa.
I couldn't agree more. Masai, congratulations on your success so far there. We wish you continued success, and, you know, anything you need us to do, we'll be there for you.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it, Bob. Thanks, Ayat.